Time to catch up with the man who knows the heavens inside out. It's Astro Dave, David Renicky. Check out his website, davidrenicky.com. David, hello.
Yeah, wouldn't be anywhere else. Good to be with you again, Bilko.
Where, of course, the biggest thing this week is the lunar eclipse. Very exciting for people to have a look. We're recording this on a Monday morning, so tomorrow night is when it all comes through. Anything excite you about this particular lunar eclipse? Is it out of the ordinary, or...?
Look, they're all good. I mean, you can't miss when you've got an eclipse. It's great to have a look at. It doesn't cost you anything. The whole family can take part in it. It's going to go over quite a few hours. This is not going to be a wham-bam, thank you, ma'am, you're gone in 2 or 3 minutes. This eclipse is going to last over a few hours. So, simply put, we're going to watch the moon pass into the Earth's shadow. We're going to see that tomorrow night. 8 o'clock onwards on the east coast.
Now, I've got to stress, this is safe to look at other than when it happens during the day, because it's a night time.
Yep. The word eclipse brings up danger, and it shouldn't, because we're used to a total eclipse of the sun, and that is when you don't look at the sun. You don't look at the sun under any circumstances whatsoever, let alone when you've got an eclipse. But when you've got a lunar eclipse, you're only looking at reflected light.
Right.
You look at a solar eclipse, you're looking at light coming directly from the sun. So it's no different looking at a lunar eclipse than looking at the moon at any time. You might stare at it. We do for hours at a time. But the difference here is the moon's going to turn a pinky colour, maybe a cherry red. It could even turn a blood red colour. And that colour is determined by the state of our atmosphere, believe it or not.
Bit of dust, you reckon?
Here's a way to think about it. It's a good little mind experiment we do.
Okay.
Rather than sort of try and explain it to you, get a bit of A4 paper while I'm talking. Every radio station.
Yeah, I've got some here.
Right, grab a pencil or a pen. On one side, draw a big circle.
Yeah.
And then beside that, draw a half-size.
Yeah.
And then beside that, draw a smaller one still.
Okay.
So you've got a bit of paper. Your listeners can do this in their mind's eye. You've got the sun on one side. That's your big one. The Earth in the middle. Put Earth on that. And then the moon on the right-hand side. Now, looking at your diagram, if you look at the sunlight, it's streaming over the Earth across from the left to the right.
Ah, right.
Passing through the Earth's atmosphere, and that sunlight, that light is falling onto the moon. The moon is passing into the Earth's shadow. But look at your diagram. Now, because our atmosphere is not clean, it's got contaminants in it, and dust, and dirt, and God knows what else, the light gets filtered as it passes through the Earth. And it falls onto the moon as a red colour. And that's why you see sunsets, sunrises are red.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly the red colour gets through. That's the easiest colour for light to get through. So there you go. You've got a nice eclipse happening from probably around 8 o'clock up until around 10. Around 10 o'clock it's going to be total. The good thing about this is you can duck inside again and watch your favourite telly show if you want to, and then go back out, or go out there and spend a bit of a night with your friends. But if you wanted to go out and just have a gaze at it, go out about 10 o'clock.
Yeah,
that's when it's going to be total.
I like getting in years gone by, just lying back on the trampoline, you head out in the backyard with the kids and you sit back and you tell stories. And you know what? You start answering questions about the night sky. It starts getting kids, especially at 5 or 6 years of age, asking questions about how far away things are. It really is a good way to get them introduced to the astro world.
Yeah, nothing like stargazing. And when you're out camping too, you know, you ever pulled up, you've been on a long trip somewhere between cities, or if you're going from suburb to suburb, wherever you are, and you're out in the sticks, you pull up and the sky, there's no light around. You're away from all the city lights, and the sky is so dark and clear. We were out there last night in a very dark part of the area where I live, and I've never seen Jupiter and Saturn come up so well. And that's another bonus. They're up too, about the same time of night, so you can have a look at those too. And a little extra thrown in here that I forgot to mention. We've got a meteor shower happening in that period as well.
Oh, God, okay.
So you might be lucky and see a fireball.
All right, so really it's a night away from the TV and looking at the night sky starting tomorrow. And I just hope the skies stay clear is all we can ask.
Let's hope
so. Now, NASA's found some creepy smiley face on the surface of the sun. Surely this is a trick of the light, is it?
This is good. Look, if you haven't got it, you haven't seen it, go to my website. I've got a photograph of the sun on there. This turned up just on a week ago, and I thought, oh, this is a joke. I mean, when I had a look at it, here's a big smiley face on the sun. Surely somebody's photoshopped it. And I thought, hang on, this looks pretty real because I've seen lots of photos of the sun. You've got to remember, the sun is a complete boiling pot of material. When you look at the surface of the sun, It's active. It's like looking down on a boiling pot, huge big pot.
Yeah.
You've got all the, you know, the bubbles coming up and the top layers moving around, convection. That's what's going on there. Now, every now and then, a little dark area appears, and sometimes a bigger dark area appears. These are the areas we call sunspots, or coronal mass ejections happen from those. The flares come out. But what's happened here is by a quirk of nature, and just because, just a little bit of coincidence and sheer luck, we've got two pieces that appear together side by side.
Oh, yeah.
Large areas of the sun, dark areas, that have opened up momentarily and formed two eyes. Now, just below it, whoever the architect of the universe has done a good job, just below it, there's a curved section.
Yeah.
Like a half circle. And that forms a little mouth. Now, when you look at it, you think, this has been contrived. But it's not. It's a real photograph. And it's gone berserk around the world. It's just gone viral. I hate that word, viral.
Yeah, but it just
reminds me of what we went through.
Yeah, yeah. But it just gives people something exciting to look at. And look, there's always the usual conspiracy theorists that go, it's been photoshopped or whatever. But you know what? Take nature for what it is. It's the angle of the shot. It's almost like Jules Verne, that From Earth to the Moon thing done in the 1920s, you know, where the rocket plowed into the side of the moon
and it's
winking its face to try and get rid of the rocket that's embedded in there. It's really funny. I like it.
I'll take a photo. Look, get a copy of this one and laminate it and put it up on your desk. Just when you're feeling down, just have a look at it. It is a really cool. You've seen it, haven't you, the photo?
Yes, I'm looking at it right now.
It is great, yeah.
I'm going to make it my screensaver for the next couple of days. I love it.
Good on you.
Hey, tell us about this meteor they found in 2014. Why are they calling? Why are they confirming it as an interstellar visitor? Where did it come from? What's the story?
Yeah, this is a little bit of archaeoastronomy, actually. It's impossible to try and explain this thing. The closest I can tell you is that astronomers have seen a piece of rock about a meter wide.
Yeah.
That's come into our solar system, not originating from here, not coming from the Oort cloud, not coming from the Kuiper belt, but coming from outside, because it came in two reasons. It came in at over 200,000 km an hour. Now that's been building up over a long period of time, and it came in on an interesting angle, a sort of suspicious angle that made astronomers look at it and think, well, this is an odd trajectory. And it suggested it may have come this from outside our solar system.
And do they say, do they feel it could have been steered into that weird trajectory?
Yeah, hey, who knows? Mm. I mean, what greater way to send a space probe around the universe than in the security and safety and complete coverage of an asteroid with a little peephole? But no, what we think happened here is that this is an errant piece of rock that may have been part of another solar system somewhere. And it could have been drifting around for hundreds of millions of years. We don't know. So what do we draw from this? What sort of conclusion? Well, what we draw from it is it may have the seeds of life from its parent body.
Of course, yeah.
Because we think that life was seeded on the Earth the same way. Coming here, asteroids, meteors hitting the Earth, and comets striking the Earth with leaving traces behind of water from the ice that's on them. We think that the germs of life, the germination of life, the start of life, the ingredients here, the DNA, if you will, may have been locked up inside these rocks. So what we've got here is a possibility, remote one, but still worthy of consideration, that this rock may have been from somewhere else like that that's passed by us, carrying the
building blocks.
The building blocks of another civilization that may be out there.
Yeah.
And if this process happened here, this rock coming here, this may have happened in the past. Something bigger may have come here, or many of them may have come here and impregnated our little planet here. So what we're saying from that is, if you draw a little bit longer bow, and I love to do that, because that's what science is all about. It's about extrapolating the information you've got and pushing it to its extreme. If you wanted to draw a longer bow from this, you could say that life out there may be pretty much on the same sort of basis of you and I.
You know what?
There could be another you and I.
You know what I'd love, David, is that if it might have been the subject of a movie already, but I'd love them to grab a rock from space, something like this, bring it back to Earth, and then cultivate the bacteria that's dormant on there, and then suddenly a different sort of life form starts growing. That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Well, there's a science fiction movie in that.
Yeah, The Bug. the thing, the it, whatever. And one final thing, David, clean energy from space, how to beam energy from space down to Earth. I mean, we've talked about this before, but Caltech in the US, what, they have a solution, they have a way, they have a means?
Yeah, I'm all for this. I think this is something as time has come. You're going to, you turn the news on, and what are you going to hear? You're going to hear energy prices have gone through the roof. People are getting solar panels on their roof in extreme, not extreme, but in
extreme
numbers. Amazing bonus. I just looked around yesterday for around here. There's not a house in our region that hasn't got solar panels on it. And I wonder why. Well, the guy next door to us has just done his roof, and he's saving money. Look, there's solar power up there. This energy is free. And there's a company called Space-Based Solar Project who want to put a modular spacecraft into orbit to collect that sunlight. What they want to do is to have a collective, a bunch of photovoltaic, I love that word, photovoltaic panels. This is a material that converts light into electricity. Can you imagine hundreds of thousands of 4x4-inch tiles joined together in a satellite formation circling the Earth that are picking up sunlight, beaming it down here? Now, this blanket could be as big as 5 kilometres wide. Hang on, wait a minute. Mm. There's a problem.
What?
We've got all this stuff up there at the moment with Elon Musk and his satellites. We've already blanketed the atmosphere with these satellites. It's causing an extreme problem with astronomy. Here's another company that wants to put a huge 5 kilometre-wide blanket of satellites.
Yeah, but
this is not as.
But that's going to give us energy, David. That's
Sure.
everything else out and let these guys have right of way. I mean, this is.
I agree with you, and this is where I would have to sway to the side. Now, something like this, beaming down energy in the form of microwave radio, picked up and converted here into. It's coming down to us and transmitted and steered into radio frequency power to where it's needed. And we could run maybe the whole planet or a country with a system like that. And the cost is not there. The only cost is in building the infrastructure for it.
Yeah.
So I like the idea. It may not be an invention or an idea for now, but it certainly, I think, will be looked at as something we could do in the future, because we're going to do something. Our energy requirements in this country and this planet are increasing every day, Wilco. We're needing more and more energy, and it's costing people so much money. So here's a way of getting it's free. The sun energy is up there. It's been there for 5 billion years, and it's got another 5 billion years left in it.
Yeah, I mean,
we should harness
enough for our civilization to flourish and thrive, and then build a base to move on for the rest of the universe. So, yeah. Anyway, it's good we're recognising it. Let's try and make it more practical and more cost-effective. That's what we have to get it down to. It should become standard installations on new builds, really, from now on in.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, David. Thank you so much. More at davidrenicki.com. Have a look at all these stories. Got the links up on our socials, and we'll talk again next week, David.
Will do. Thank you, Bill. Go talk to you then. Bye.